Difficult passages. This is part two of our study in Romans chapter 5. We're still in fellowship, so we'll jump right in with chapter 5, verse 20, where it starts out with the law, which is the Mosaic law. And if your Bible is good in this regard, they'll have a capital L. So this is the Mosaic law. Came in. So the Mosaic law came in about 1440 BC. And so it had several purposes, but this is one of the purposes that the Mosaic law had, so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So what does this mean, that the transgression would increase? This is something to increase. This speaks about the knowledge of sin. But where sin increased, in other words, the knowledge of sin, because the Mosaic law set out all sorts of categories of sin. Before the Mosaic law, people could kind of figure out the fact that God is perfect and they're not perfect. They didn't know exactly, you know, all the types of things that offended God. And again, sin is anything that's against the character of God. So what the Mosaic law did is they put it all in writing. Now, the Mosaic law, we think of the big ten. You know, there's actually not ten sins in the Mosaic law and the Ten Commandments. Half of them are thou shalt nots, and those are sins. And then you have positive commands. You will love the Lord God with all your, you know, you have no other gods before me. And that you will do this, you'll honor your mother and your father. Those are positive commands. But you had other commands. It was, you shall not commit adultery. So you had negatives and positives. But that's not all the sin of the Mosaic law. I mean, we studied the doctrine of sin before, and you can look it up in your book. The Mosaic law has hundreds and hundreds of things that God lists as sins. So if you've got to figure out, well, what are my sins, you can kind of, you know, the more you study about the Mosaic law, you can see all the different things that would be sinful to God. And in Proverbs, of course, we've got a whole list of the top sins that God detests. And Proverbs was written about 500 years after, or 400 years after the Mosaic law came into being. So God is making it very clear. Before the Mosaic law, people understood the concept of sin. In fact, if you go to any culture around the world, you'll see that their idea of what sin is basically the same. Don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, don't commit adultery. It is the big type of sins that they all recognize. And that's in every culture that's ever existed. Mankind inherently knows that they sin, or that they are evil, and they do bad things. The premise of every major religion is that man is no good. No major religion says man is great and doesn't sin. All their premise is all the same, that man is a sinner and God is good. And so we have the same concept in the Judeo-Christian Bible. The Quran has the same thing. The Rig Veda has the same thing. So all religions have the exact same things in terms of that recognition of the problem. So this is not some foreign idea. Only the New Age people in California think they don't sin. You know, some bizarre type of things, the Tao and all these other. Even the Tao recognize that there's sin. And so this is a concept that all people recognize. The difference is, of course, is how do you solve the math problem of sin, that God's perfect and you're not? Well, all the religions say you've got to live your best life and be a good person and do this and do that and do the other thing and you might be saved. Human works. Only biblical Christianity says, oh, no, that's not how you're saved. You're saved by faith alone and Christ alone, the grace of God. He imputes his righteousness to you and you're saved. Well, which one's easier? Well, anybody has to admit, biblical Christianity is a lot easier. Otherwise, too hard. Because A, they never tell you you're in, you know? You've got to work you got to hustle your whole life to be a good person, but they never give you the guarantee. It's you might be accepted when you die, you're going to be judged. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. With Christianity, at that second you receive God's righteousness, you can't get out. And the sins you haven't done yet, they're already taking off the table. So you can't get unsaved. So which one would you rather sign up to? It's not a hard choice for me. It shouldn't be a hard choice for any humans, but see, most of them, they reject God's way, and they want their way. Why? John chapter 3, verse 19, the light came into the world, light stands for perfection, men hate the light. They hate God's grace, because it excludes them. They don't want to be excluded. They want to do it. And I've used this analogy many times. It's like you're in a jet airplane and you want to get out and push. That's about how stupid you are if you think you're going to work your way to God. Do you think the pilot needs your help to get out and push? No. Well, who would say such a stupid thing? Unbelievers. They're blinded. Their arrogance blinds them, and arrogance will blind you every time. They reject God's work, and they want their work. Now, some of them might mix the two. Oh, yeah, God is gracious, and God is good, and stuff like that, but I still got to be good. They mix grace with works, and when you mix works with grace, it destroys grace. Grace is grace. Grace, period. Faith alone, Christ alone, big period right there. You don't have to do anything. There's nothing you can do. So the transgression would increase. God just wanted to make it very clear, because what were the Jews? The Jews were the first client nation to God. It was a theocracy. He would rule this nation. And therefore, as the ruler of the Jews, rulers set out their rules. So here's the Mosaic Law I've got for you. And we know that the Mosaic Law has three parts to it. Codex number one, codex number two. Codex just means a body of law. Codex one, codex two, codex three. And each part has a purpose for the Jews. The law was never designed to save anybody. You can't be saved by keeping the law. One, nobody could do it. Only one human never violated the Mosaic Law. That was Jesus Christ. No human can be saved by keeping the law. That's not the purpose of the law. The codexes were designed for specific things, that's true. But primarily, codex number one was designed to show you that it's impossible for you to keep the Mosaic Law. You can't do it. And therefore, and also if you offended one thing of the Mosaic Law, you offended it all of it. And then Jesus made it crystal clear when he was on the earth in his body, and he said, look, you people might brag that you keep the Mosaic Law. Let me give you an illustration. You don't commit adultery. However, you actually break the Mosaic Law if you think it in your brain. Because it's not just about the overt sins. It's about the mental attitude sins. So if you want to have sex with that woman and she's not married to you, you've committed adultery in your mind. And I'm God, and that's how I evaluate you. And then the disciples got all upset. Well, if you can read our minds, how does anyone get saved? Because we just thought we could be saved by not doing it. But you're telling us that if we even think to do it, we're guilty. And then Jesus said, you have not been listening to me. You're not saved by what you do or don't do. You're saved by what I'm going to do for you. Which is very soon he would die on the cross for the sins of the world. They said, oh yeah, we forgot. You only told us 1,000,000 times. You only told us 100 times. He told them that concept many, many, many times. So that's what this means. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. In other words, you have full knowledge of what sin is. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Grace can take care of all this stuff. There's no sin that can get you unsaved except for one sin, the unpardonable sin. And that is the sin where you reject the gospel. That's the one sin. And we can put this one sin up here. That's that one sin that Jesus didn't die for. It's for the rejection of the gospel. We call this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Why is it called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that makes the gospel understandable to you when you're an unbeliever. And then you said, yes, I'll take it. But if you say no, you have blasphemed. You've rejected grace. And that's the unpardonable sin. That's the one sin that Jesus did not die for, is rejection of his work. And that is a sin. You must admit that's a sin if you reject his work. That's the one sin he did not die for. Otherwise, there would be no volition, because you're simply saved whether you want to be saved or not. And therefore, if you destroy volition, you're not a human. You're a robot. You have no volition. Your volition has to hear the gospel and say, I'll take it. If God saves all rocks, well, you'd be a rock, or you'd be an animal. You have no volition. But God could certainly do that, but you wouldn't be a human with volition, because you can't destroy negative volition, which means no, without destroying positive volition, which means yes. So, and God knew when he created creatures with free will, they would turn against him. He knew that. But he made a way to save those. And that's us. And so grace abounded all the more. Grace cannot be stopped, no matter what this knowledge of sin was. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, the death here is spiritual death. Spiritual death. And spiritual death means separation from God. That's what the lake of fire is. Spiritual death is separation from your creator. Now the creator, of course, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He always is everywhere. But see, they're separated from him. And that's spiritual death. They're separated out from him. Even so, grace, so that as sin reigned in death, because Adam's sin reigns, means it rules, because it produces spiritual death to all of us. No exceptions, except for Jesus and when he was born. Even so, grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life. Yes, so on the other hand, grace is going to reign. Why is grace? How does it reign? It reigns when you receive the righteousness of God. How do you get that? When you believe. So even so, grace, charis, would reign through righteousness, dikaiosune, to eternal life. Eternal life, of course, is one of the characteristics that God has. Remember, if I said one of the 10 attributes of God, we listed two today, love, eternal life. We listed three. He's omnipresent. That's three. Three out of seven. Can you do the other seven? So eternal life, if you're going to live with God forever, you got to have his eternal life. Your mortal life is not going to do it. You got to have his eternal life to dwell with him forever. So when you're saved, you receive his righteousness. Another thing you receive is his own eternal life. You have it right now. It's already in you. You can't get out. To eternal life through, again, that word, they love that word, dia, D-I-A, short word. We have a long word in the English, which means by means of. Somebody has to do it. Jesus does it. By means of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We got the full title here. Jesus stands for his humanity. He was a pure human. The word Christ is means the anointed one, the mission. Remember it says the act of obedience that Jesus did. The obedience, of course, in verse 19. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the anointed one. Anointed means you are designed to do a job. What's the job? Go to the cross, die for the sins of the world. He was obedient to that job. That's what the word Christ means. The Hebrew equivalent, remember this is a Greek word, Christos. English word is Christ, so we call it a transliteration. A transliteration is when the Greek word is very similar to the English word. So the Greek word is we call that a transliteration. You don't have to translate it. You can figure out that Christos is Christ, very similar. So it's a transliteration. But the Hebrew word is not so. The Hebrew word, of course, is doesn't even look like that. But we use this Hebrew word also in the English language, Messiah. Messiah is the Hebrew word, which means what? The anointed one. So Messiah means anointed one. That's what the Jews call him. We call him Christos, or Christ in the English, which means the anointed one. Anointed means you've been designed to do a mission. I anoint you to do a mission. What's the mission? Well, we know what the mission is. So his middle name is the mission. First name is humanity, because he's a true human. Only a true human could take the place for our sins. The mission, Christ, our Lord, that word is kurios, which means Lord. And that means God. He is God. He's Jesus, human, Lord, God, and his mission is Christ. So Jesus Christ, our Lord, and Paul concludes this by putting the whole thing together. If you just understood what Jesus Christ, our Lord, means, you got it all right there sewed up. He's true humanity, he has a mission, and he's God at the same time. God at the same time. So let's go to the Mosaic Law real quick, because we've now interpreted these passages, which is a difficult passage if you don't know Bible doctrine. I grant you that, but we know Bible doctrine, so it's not that difficult. But let's just use a few minutes to recall what the Mosaic Law can do and cannot do, and what it was designed to do. On page 484, we note first that the Mosaic Law was given to Israel because they're the first client nation. God developed a client nation. Why did he develop a client nation? Well, what does a client nation mean? That means that they're under the direct protection of God himself. And so he carved out the Jews because through them, this Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come through them. It's got to come from somewhere. Well, it's going to come through the Jewish race. The first Jew was Abraham, and Abraham tooled around for 500 years, and of course they fell into Egypt as slaves. And the analogy is, of course, they're in a situation that's hopeless, helpless, etc., etc. If you're a slave, you're in a hopeless, helpless situation. And God brought them out of the hopeless, helpless situation and promised them to bring them into a wonderful new life. Just like us, we're born into a hopeless, helpless situation. God promises, I'll bring you into a new life. All you got to do is believe. So it's just a big teaching tool. If you knew, I'm a slave, now I'm not a slave. Who brought me out of slavery? God did. He destroyed the Egyptians that were chasing him. He brought them out. He did all the work. And so God gave these people the Mosaic Law. And then Romans chapter 2, verses 12 to 14 is worth looking at. Paul uses the same concept. It's in our book on page 484. It says, for all have sinned. The same word, harmartano. Without the law. For all who have sinned, rather, without the law, will also perish. And that word is apolubi, which means to put out of the way entirely, without the Mosaic Law. And all who have sinned under the Mosaic Law will be judged by the Mosaic Law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are law to themselves. So it was not given to the Gentiles in the Old Testament at all. It was given to the Jews. But the purpose of the law was to demonstrate to them, this is the standard. But the Gentiles also have their own law. They also understand the standard that God's perfect and you're not. This brings it into crystal clear focus for the Jews. God revealed to them more things than he did to the Gentiles. He gave them, of course, the rituals. He gave them the full plan of God that was available to them. And he also required that these Jews should be a repository for the growing canon of Scripture. Because the Bible was revealed bit by bit by bit. All fits together perfectly, but as it was revealed, the Jews were supposed to write it down and keep it. Keep it, keep it, build it, build it, build it. And they were also commanded to evangelize the world, all the nations around them. They didn't do that. But they did keep the law together, and even many of the cases they kept it just because they're legalists. They thought by copying the law it would save us. It didn't save you. But God, of course, protected the canon of Scripture. So the Mosaic Law was not given to the church. We notice that, verse Romans 8, 1 to 4. We're not under the Mosaic Law. You don't have to follow the Mosaic Law. Because if you tried to follow the Mosaic Law, wow. If you really know the Mosaic Law, it was a very onerous system. Now, some churches say, we're following the Mosaic Law because we have our church on Saturday, which is, we recognize Saturday as a day of rest, which is what the Jews had their day of rest was Saturday. Well, to us, every day is the same. But I notice these churches aren't killing animals in front of the church altar. They're not cutting animals' throats. If you're going to follow the Mosaic Law, dude, you better get your knives out and start cutting. Because it's a very bloody, bloody, bloody system of worship. And why was it so bloody? Because it taught the point that Jesus will die a horrible death. That's why the animals died a horrible death. It was a teaching tool. One day in the future, these animals represent something that doesn't deserve to die because the animals were friendly to people. Little lambs, little sheep, a nice cow. You know, they didn't go out and sacrifice snakes or lions and stuff. They sacrificed animals that didn't hurt anybody. And the animals had to be without spot and without blemish. In other words, if you had an animal that was all white and had a big blemish on its fur, you couldn't kill that animal. That represented that Christ would be perfect. And therefore died a horrible death, which represented he would die a horrible death. That's all it was, a teaching tool. But it's a very bloody, bloody system of worship. Blood everywhere. But we don't have that. We're in the church age. And then point four is what the Mosaic Law cannot do. It cannot justify for salvation. No one can be saved by keeping the Mosaic Law. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For as written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Nobody can perform all the things written in the law. Impossible. All the codexes for all the sins. You can't do it. As I illustrated the first hour, Jesus even said, I judge you for mental attitude sins. Mosaic law is just overt stuff that we see. I judge you for what you think. If you violate the Mosaic law, would you think it? And nobody can live up to the law. You are under a curse. The law cannot bless you. It can only curse you, because you can't be saved by keeping the law. That's man-made works. The law wasn't designed to do that. It was designed to show you that you need a Savior, because you can't keep this Mosaic law. And in the book, I got verse after verse after verse, which you can read at your own leisure. It can't make the believer perfect. Hebrews 7, verses 18 to 19. It can't provide spirituality in the church age. Galatians 3, 2. And then we're going to go on to point 6 on page 488. What the Mosaic law can do. Well, it can't save you. What can it do? It can point to the only solution for salvation. Galatians 3, 23 to 26 is a good verse for that. So the law says that I can tell you that it makes you realize that you are a sinner if you haven't already figured it out. And it's impossible to be saved by keeping the Mosaic law. So the Mosaic law is like a big spotlight. You need somebody to save you from the law. Law can't save you. And then point 7, the law has three parts, Codex 1, 2, and 3. Codex 1 is a morality code given to Israel. It has many types of sin that are mentioned in the morality code. And it's basically part of the divine institutions. And if you follow the morality code, you know what the divine institutions, they're given for believers and unbelievers. You follow these codes, you have a healthy life. It doesn't save you. And then Codex number 2 is the soteriology part of it. Those are all the rituals where they cut the animals' throats. This is teaching tools that these animals represent the future work of Christ. That's what Codex number 2 is all about. All sorts of rituals. And then Codex number 3 is the authority system for life and liberty and prosperity in society. This has all types of things like legal jurisprudence, how a government should operate. It talks about capitalism. It includes military mobilization. So this is really straight down the divine institutions, Codex number 3. And there's many countries that follow Codex number 3. They don't even know they're following it. And they can have a happy, healthy life, but it doesn't save you. And then another part of the Mosaic law, of course, is the Sabbaths. And they have lots of different Sabbaths, lots of different holidays and holy days, which are also listed in your books. They have feasts, and the feast of the Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, the Pentecost, and these types of the tabernacles, Hanukkah, the new moon feast. All these had a teaching component to them. All the feasts had a teaching component. And they all line up, of course, to the plan of God for mankind. So, to recap, the Mosaic Law cannot save you. The Mosaic Law was given to the Jews as a booster. Because, look, I'm going to show you, I'm going to reveal to you all the things that are associated with sin. And I'm going to reveal to you the deep doctrines that Gentiles don't have. Gentiles just have the basic stuff. I'm going to give you more revelations about my character that they don't know. And many of the attributes of God are revealed in the Old Testament. His omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience, his sovereignty. See, we're getting to the other ones now. His eternal life. All these things are revealed in the Old Testament. His holiness, his righteousness and justice, which are the two components of holiness. His immutability. God can't change. His absolute veracity. He can never lie. So the Jews got the full revelation about the attributes of God, whereas the Gentiles, they just kind of knew God is perfect or near perfect, and I'm not. That's about all they knew. They didn't have all these concepts. They didn't know about the angelic conflict. The Bible revealed all these things to the Jews as the Bible went forward. And so they got more knowledge, but they're in the same boat as the Gentiles, as we just read that verse. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, the law doesn't save you. The law was never designed to save you. It was designed to show you need a Savior, and then I have components to show you how to live a better life, teach you about the Messiah, and then the feasts were to celebrate Thanksgiving. You can't have Thanksgiving unless you know what you're thankful for. A lot of people are not, they don't really have Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? Well, you got to know what you're thankful for. And that's a problem with many people in this country. They don't realize how great this country is, and so they're not thankful for the country. They're ingrates. They're not thankful for the benefits of this great nation they live in because they don't know. They don't know what's on the other side. They've never had a hard day in their life. You know, they think it's a rough day if the electricity goes out for 5 minutes. Oh my golly, it's horrible. Or if they're stuck in a traffic jam. It's just horrible. Dude, you are living in the top 1% of the top 1% of all humans that ever lived on this planet. I can show you what horrible life is like. You can actually go online, just Google some of these countries and how those people live. You think you got it bad? You're out of your freaking mind. And yet they're ingrates. They hate their country. They will not salute the flag. They won't respect the flag. They badmouth everything that's good about this country. And you say, what in the world is wrong with you? Well, one, they have no gratitude. They don't know anything. And the blind lead the blind, and they all fall into the ditch. And they fall for candidates that promise them all sorts of goodies. And they're lying to you. Absolute lying to you. But people, of course, love to have something for nothing. You're going to give me free what? They're lying to you, just like Satan. Because God makes it very clear, get a job. Okay, with our head bowed and eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We thank you that you've enlightened us with the understanding of knowing your plan and knowing the mind of Christ, your Son, which is the Bible. We know that God the Holy Spirit is the breath of the Bible, and the Word of God is you, Father. We know that all three members of the Trinity are revealed to us in the Bible, and that everything we need to know about you is in this book. Not everything that is about you, but everything that we need to know about you. We thank you that in the future you will use us as exhibits in the angelic conflict, and that we will continue in this life to glorify you as we should. Challenge us. Do not let us forget, and do not let us cast off this Bible doctrine. Move us forward in Christ's name. Amen.